Welcome back to the Small Business CTO Podcast. I'm your host, Cale Miller. Here we help Australia's small business community embrace technology to become more efficient, more effective, and ultimately to have business owners get more enjoyment from their work. For today's episode, I wanted to lift the lid on the different types of AI that you encounter in your everyday life. My hope is that after you listen to this episode, you, my non-tech listener, that you have a greater idea of the tools available in your tool belt to automate and streamline parts of your business's operations. Much like how a hammer shouldn't be used to cut a piece of wood, nor should a saw be used to drive a nail into a wall, it's important to use the right tool for the right job. Now, before I continue any further, I apologize in advance for any of my technical audience who is listening, who's currently pulling out their hair, screaming at the oversimplification of their line of work. Unfortunately for us technical people, this is one of the sacrifices we need to make in order to help our non-tech friends understand more about what we do so that they can help us more in our day-to-day work. With all that out of the way, let's get into it. I want to start all the way at the top with real examples of AI in our everyday lives. So AI is all the rage at the moment. Just to think of a few examples that have come out in the last couple of years, there's ChatGPT and all of its competitors, you know, Gemini and Bing Chat and things like that, which enable you to talk to a machine as if you're talking to a human. There are these checkoutless stores, think Amazon Go, and I even saw Woolworths run a similar idea in Sydney a few years ago, which track shoppers and allow them to automatically check out items without ever having to talk to a human or go to a register. And then there's Siri, Alexa, and other voice-activated assistants, which allow you to perform tasks in a hands-free manner using speech. So these are the sexy examples. These are the examples that we think of when we think of AI. But there's actually a lot more AI that is in our everyday lives and is a lot more hidden and under the hood. So just to quickly name a few more examples of these boring kinds of AI, think Netflix and Spotify's recommendation engine. It looks at your previous usage behaviors, what movies you've liked, what songs you've listened to, and it will recommend new songs and shows based off your historical behaviors. Google Maps giving you an optimal route to your destination. That is another type of AI. It considers live traffic. It considers the best way to get there based on speeds on the roads and things like that to give you an ideal route. Your accounting software. In its essence, it is a boring kind of AI. It just takes a whole bunch of numbers, sums them up, and gives you alerts if there are any discrepancies. And even your phone's ability to autocorrect, that's another type of AI that you get a more seamless experience by it saying, you've typed a C instead of an O, but we know the word you mean. So you might assume that all AI is AI. They all use similar techniques and they all have the same machinery to achieve these results. However, there's no size-fits-all approach with AI. Each problem has its own unique considerations and context and needs to have a unique AI deployed and developed to achieve the task at hand. And we make these deliberate engineering trade-offs in order to maximize the performance-to-cost ratio. We could obviously use a very sophisticated AI for a simple problem, but it's going to be a huge investment that's not really necessary. When I talk about AI, I generally bundle them into one of three high-level categories. The first category is what I would call a simple automation. This AI is analogous to a mechanical machine. It takes a fairly consistent and well-defined input, a pretty standard set of execution instructions, and then it will produce a very standard output. It doesn't really make any true decisions like we think of when it comes to an AI. These simple automations is where computers have been working for decades, and it's what's made them so prevalent in society. So if you think of simple automations, think of things such as accounting software is a great example, which just sums a bunch of numbers together and gives you a total on the other side. But other applications could be synchronizing IT systems. It could be sending out automated emails. It could be the user interface for an application where you're recording projects. Typically, these are just simple automations. I don't really make many decisions. It's just a way to manage data and information. Simple automations are very easy to write, very easy to maintain, and very cheap to run. For example, you could typically write a valuable simple automation in, let's call it half a day, and you can run it on a computer chip, a microprocessor, which is going to cost you 10 cents to a dollar. You start to see how valuable these applications are of simple automations in the right context. They're so easy to write, so cheap to write, and so potentially valuable compared to a human performing the operation. However, due to their nature, they're also the most sensitive of all AI. If the input deviates by even a little bit, then the whole automation could come to a halt and crash, and you have to go in there and diagnose that and fix it. The second category is what I would call logic trees. This AI is basically a giant collection of if this, then that, chained together. So perhaps surprisingly to you, the listener, this is what many applications of AI are in our day-to-day life. Think of triggering email follow-ups in marketing and sales software. Think of scheduling jobs in a factory. Think of anything like being able to automatically populate fields based off other fields' behaviors, or filters where you say, only return me results where I am the assigned person to a job. Logic trees are a lot more complicated than a simple automation, but they're still very much writable by human software engineers. So they're really well suited to domains where there is a standard flowchart where a set of actions will always happen for this certain set of inputs. So perhaps a great example of this would be a loan application. I want to look at your income. I want to look at where you live. I want to look at your credit history. I want to look at your assets. And then I'm going to make an assessment as to what interest rate and what capacity of a loan I'm going to give you. So simple automations are very flexible to a huge number and types of inputs. Perhaps one input is a number, another input is a category, and a third input is a simple yes or no. They're also very easy to understand and explain to your end users. It's easy to articulate why you've made the decision because a human engineer has handcrafted that logic. However, they are not cheap to build. Not only do they require a huge amount of engineering time to come up with, but they often need a lot of domain knowledge to understand what rules to encode. So think of it as a software engineer may need to sit with your lead banker to understand all these rules that they make when they make a loan application or they approve a loan application. They are also very sensitive to information incompleteness. Perhaps your rules require 7 pieces of information, but in this case, you only have 3. When you have a logic tree, there is a good chance that the performance will degrade, and it may even come to a halt by not having sufficient information. Logic trees are best suited to problems where the inputs are required and well-defined, and the rules to make decisions are pretty straightforward. You can also think of other examples such as routing deliveries. It's a pretty well-defined set of inputs. Given these orders and given the objective to minimize time on the road, give me a route. The final category of AI is what I call a statistical model. So this form of AI takes a set of inputs and predicts the most probable result based off previous observations. Note that use of the wording most probable. It doesn't know exactly the income, and it may not even be deterministic in its prediction of what the outcome should be, but it will only give a suggestion as to what's the most likely outcome. So statistical models is what all modern AI use, from ChatGPT to Siri to Tesla self-driving cars. It all uses this statistical modeling technique. As such, you can tell they are incredibly powerful for a huge suite of problem domains. And they are very resilient to having missing, incomplete, or even incorrect data in some parts. They are also much easier to build. Instead of having to encode this huge number of rules, the AI can learn all those rules and encode it into itself. So they can sometimes be much more efficient than having a human software engineer write all the rules. This is especially the case in scenarios such as ChatGPT. Humans can compose a near infinite number of sentences and expect the model to give relevant and accurate results each time. That's almost impossible for a human engineer to encode all the sentences and all the answers. Statistical models, however, have one major drawback. They require a huge repository of data before they can become accurate and useful. So that's why there's that phrase, data is the new oil. Statistical models require data as the fuel to operate. They are also notoriously unstable and opaque to end users. Models can randomly make predictions that are not only wrong, but seem illogical. And they can be very difficult to diagnose and remedy without prior training from a data expert. There it is. There's your crash course on AI. Each AI has different pros and cons that make it suitable for some applications over others. There is no one-size-fits-all approach to picking AI. If this was the case and it was that obvious, we would have no need for software engineers. We could have non-technical people just pick the AI to use and the AI would figure it out. But it is an art, not a science, and it requires engineering trade-offs like making a bridge, making a house, making a car. Thank you very much for listening. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to me on LinkedIn, Cale Miller at Prometheus AI, or contact us at contact@prometheusai.com.au.